Well, we've been in this series, Winter Storm Warning. Last week, we talked about something I was really just kind of struggling with and really didn't like the passage of Scripture. And today, for some of you, you're going to be in the same boat. You're not going to like this passage of Scripture, and it's going to be difficult. But I just invite you just to stay with us for this time. Kids, if you're watching, I'm telling you, there are some sweet pictures of your parents and their old hairdos coming up. So just be sitting tight and hanging out with us and be anticipating some awesome pictures of some awesome hairdos. Today we're going to be talking about husbands and wife. We're really talking about marriage. One of the things that I love is to take a road trip. I enjoy road trips. I like to do that with my wife. And one of the things that's really amazing about road trips with her is she likes to talk and I like to talk, and it's a very enjoyable time most of the time. Some of our greatest conversations have happened sitting next to each other in the car. Some of our greatest resolve to the fight before we got in the car happened right in that car seat. Marriage is much like a car ride. You're on a journey together with this other person, and sometimes there's kids crying in the back and screaming and yelling. And sometimes there's not, and you're like, where is that noise back there? But often, it's this mutual submission, this respect for each other, as you're on this journey together. And so today, we're going to be opening our Bibles and looking at what Peter said about marriage. And remember from last week, when he talked about this idea of submission, it's really who's on the throne. Who do we believe is on the throne? We have to keep that picture in our mind as we read this passage, because for some of you, this passage is going to be difficult. And for some of you, you're not going to like the word that he uses. One of the words that he uses is this word submission. And the word submission is in the Bible, and it's all through the Scriptures. But I want to give you a biblical definition of that this morning. I want to give you a definition of what it means to submit to somebody else. It's a voluntary act of allegiance, support, and response to another. It's very important for God's people to be in submission. God wants his people to be in submission in many different ways. He wants us to be in submission to him. Jesus himself submitted himself to the will of the Father. The church is to submit to Christ. And the Bible says that all believers are to submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. I give you this definition because I think we have a little trouble with this idea. It's not a part of our American roots. We're the nation that broke away from the king. We didn't submit to the king. We broke away from the king. And so to think of this idea of submission in any area of our lives is really difficult. We're very individualistic in our society. And so submission, to think that we're going to lay down our rights or our wants to someone else is really difficult. And when it comes to marriage, it's really hard sometimes. Can I get an amen right from your couch? It's difficult to do that. It's difficult to see that person to go, okay, and in the midst of the storm. We know that men are different than women. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and we differ, and yet we are working together in marriage, and it's really a beautiful thing. It's a car ride together. It's the sun shining on our face, listening to the radio, having a great conversation, or maybe a difficult conversation. The Bible speaks a lot about relationship, and it speaks directly to the union between men and women. In this passage that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the relationship between men and women and really look at this idea that God had for marriage. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at those first 8 verses. He says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves." There's that word. "To your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold and jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord or her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and an heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. May God bless the reading of his word as we look at this text, and we look at it, and some of you already are cringing and going, I don't know about this. This idea of submission, this idea of how do I do this? What does this look like? We need to turn over just a second and read chapter 2, verses 22 through 25, because everything kind of flows out of this idea. It says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. It's talking of Jesus. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed, for you are like the sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and an overseer of your souls. If you were to think about this and you were to read this passage, this idea of some kind of rage or being tempted with sin or doubt toward God and his plan, I think we might be tempted with this idea of deceit and want to tell a few white lies to get ourselves out of trouble. And Jesus, the one who justified us, the one who came in our defense, it tells us that he made no retaliation to the people that were coming at him. I think in this situation, I would think that there would be some threats, at least from Jesus. You know, in your marriage, there are probably times where you feel like your husband's coming at you or your wife's coming at you. And the reality is, you have to think back to this passage. He's the one who didn't hurl anything back, even when the insults came. He's the one who submitted willingly. The text tells us Jesus is not like us. Instead, he trusted himself to God. He bore our sins in his body. He wounded himself so that we could be healed. And after all that saving work on the cross, he did not retire, but he became the shepherd and overseer of our souls. It's an incredible Savior that we have, an incredible friend that we have. Peter, in this passage, is calling the church to be like Jesus, to submit. Remember the biblical definition of submission. It's a voluntary act of allegiance. I'm in it to win it with you. We're in the car together, and we're going on a journey to a destination. We're going to arrive together. In this passage, Peter calls for the church to have submissive wives and considerate husbands. It's really a two-point sermon. I know for some of you sitting on your couches, this might not be a popular idea or a popular thought. The first point that Peter makes is for submissive women. I almost changed this to name it beautiful women instead of submissive women, because I think it would help us to take away the barrier of communication and to listen really to what Peter is trying to communicate. Peter ties beauty and submission together in this passage. Our society doesn't view submission as a good thing. It's actually a bad thing or a belittling thing. But if we step back for just a moment and ask, why is submission good? Why is it good for a wife, if you're married, to submit to her husband? Peter answers that question in the text, that these women are beautiful because they submit to their husbands with quiet and gentle spirits. When I think of beauty, I'm not sure that's the first thing that pops into my mind. I don't think our minds are even conditioned that way. I think our minds are conditioned to see the glam magazines and the people who are photoshopped in there to look beautiful. And we're like, wow, that's beautiful there. But we don't go, oh, look at her. She has a quiet and gentle spirit. But that's what Peter says beauty is in the sight of God. I think that this question becomes this point, what do we use to judge what is beautiful? And I think that's where we go back to that passage of scripture in chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. It's the gospel. It's what Jesus, he's shown all through his life. Jesus submitted to God's plan on the cross. Hey, Father, I would like you to take this cup from me. He's about to go to the cross. He's sweating bullets. And he says, but not my will, but your will be done. He submits to the Father. Jesus died on the cross, not for his sins, but for our sins. He did this out of submission to God's plan. He was a willing, voluntary participant in it. The Father didn't force the Son to do it. He did it willingly. And last time I checked, I think we think this is a beautiful thing. That Jesus died for our sins, that he healed our wounds, he healed my wounds. I think we think this is awesome. This is a beautiful thing. A picture, incredible picture of love. So in the same way, Peter says, you wives, you can trust in God's plan of you submitting to God's idea of submission. Jesus' submission unleashed the power of the cross. Think about that for just a moment. Jesus' submission unleashed the power of the cross. The cross that could save you and I. We were dead in our sins, and now we're alive with Christ because Jesus was submissive. Peter shows us this submission is beautiful, and he unleashes its power. Well, how does this unleash power in a woman's life? In the first verse, it says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. And then he refers to husbands who are not believers. If any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of their lives, wives can help their husbands become Christians by their submission. You can change, just for a moment, you can change the eternal destiny of your husband by submission. That's what Peter is saying. That's incredible power that you have. It's incredible power that you have to help someone to go from not giving them CPR, but going from death, resurrecting them into life. You have, and it's unleashed through you, the power to see who God is and his goodness. It is through the work of Jesus, but you're demonstrating the gospel as you live out this life of submission. Let me just take a break for just a moment here. Is Peter telling women to just be okay and meekly submit? In some cases, yeah. In other cases, absolutely not. This seems really churchy and really nice. But let's just take Bubba for a moment. Bubba's a fictional character. And Bubba is, he's a drunkard and he's a mean drunkard. And he beats his wife and his kids. Well, is his wife supposed to just go, I'm meek. I'm meek and I'm mild and I'm gentle in spirit. No. If you're in that situation, I'm so sorry. There are things that you can do. Reach out to the authorities. You can call here at the church and we'll help you in that situation. You are not to take abuse in that way. Now, let's say your Bubba isn't a drunkard and beating you or abusing you, but he's just an arrogant knucklehead. I think God says, it's okay. Gentle spirit. Gentle spirit. Gentle spirit. Live out the gospel. Live out the gospel. If you look at the verses, it says, our outward adornment, such as braided hair, wearing jewelry, fine clothes, and he speaks into their culture. He says, hey, this is what beauty looks like. That's not maybe how we would look at beauty, or maybe it is how we would look at beauty, but this is the cultural part of it. This is the first century. There's a cultural aspect of how they saw beauty. There's also a cultural part in the first century that marriage, how marriages would work. The man was the patriarch. We don't have that same system here. There is more of a co-laborer idea in our culture. And so even for Peter to write these words to the church, to address women in this way, is an incredible, actually incredible thing that he's saying, hey, you're heirs to this. You have the ability to walk with God. You have the ability to do this. And I want to encourage you, sisters, to walk in submission to your husband. That's what Peter saying to these first century. We don't see it that way because we don't have the same cultural understanding of that. But there's a transcultural principle here. And it's this. You live your life for the sake of the gospel. Thus, it would be wrong for a Christian woman to give the wrong impression of the nature of the gospel to her unbelieving spouse by acting in a manner that's inconsistent with their marriage covenant. This is where Peter focuses with how believing wives retaliate or relate to their unbelieving husbands. Wives, you need to be above reproach, loving and serving so much so that your husbands will be won to faith by your behavior. That's a really difficult task. Christian women ought to be convinced with the and concerned with the obligations that are somewhat perceived by our society. You should be, doing things that will please your spouse and walk in that he would understand that you're serving and loving him. But it's not just to love him, it's for the sake of the gospel. Peter then goes down and he shares another universal principle in verse 4. Your beauty comes from a gentle and quiet spirit. Let's go to our friend Bubba. Bubba's a good dude in this scenario. And Bubba, he gets up and he goes to work every day. But when he's done with work, he kind of comes home, crashes in the lazy boy. And, pops up the Barker lounger and he likes to hang out. Well, one of the things that is his job and it is to take out the garbage. And to take the garbage out, but he keeps forgetting. And he forgot to take out the garbage. So, as his wife, the wife of Bubba, what do you do in that situation? Well, there's lots of options, right? Bubba, why didn't you take it out? You can just squawk at him right when he comes in the door. I'll tell you, that probably won't work for most men. He may go do it, but there's a little resentment in his heart. You can nag at him. You can go after him. You can scold him. You can shame him. You never do anything around this house. Those never statements are kind of big. Or you could just go and do it and have a conversation. Hey, I took out the garbage. Remember, that's one of the things that you're supposed to do. And your question may be, well, Bubba may never get it if I don't scold him. Because Bubba's Bubba. In that passage, he says, we don't live in fear. Jesus didn't live in fear of the ramifications of taking all the insults. He didn't live in fear of being unjustly put on the cross. He didn't live in fear. He trusted God in that. In the same way, I think that's what Peter's calling all of us to do, not just women, is to, in those moments of submission, in those moments where it's really difficult and you want to go after this person, that you do it quietly and gently, and you do it for the sake of the gospel. This type of submission is scary. What if Bubba never takes out the garbage? What if he uses you? In verse 5 and 6, he kind of unpacks that a little bit. And he talks about becoming daughters of Sarah. He says, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. Well, think about the story of Abraham. Abraham, he was called by God out of a pagan culture. He says to his wife, God said for us to move. And she's like, well, where are we moving, Abraham? It doesn't really say that, but this is how I imagine it. I don't know. We're just going to leave. And God said he'll tell us when we get there. And she goes. She goes with him in the midst of that trusting that and being submissive in that moment. There's another story where they're cruising along and they're walking along, and Abraham gets scared. And basically what happens is there's this king that looks at Sarah and goes, who's that? And asks Abraham, and he says, oh, that's my sister. Because he's scared that the king is going to kill him. And she goes along with it for a minute, she goes along with it until it gets to the place where the king's like, well, I want her to be mine. And she's about to get married to the king. She was submissive, and even in that, crazy, right? There's another story where Abraham, and I don't know if she knew or didn't know what was happening, excuse me. But they were promised this son. His name is Isaac, and she was in her old age, and she had this son. He was about 13 years old, and God told Abraham to take him up to a hill and to sacrifice him. And so he takes him, and he begins on this journey. I don't know what that conversation was like with Sarah, but why are you taking Isaac? Well, God told me to sacrifice him. You're going to kill my baby? Yeah, because God told me. Maybe he'll resurrect him. But she was submissive even in that. Really crazy, right? We don't know that she even knew that, but I was just thinking about these stories and what he possibly could have meant. There's another place where she calls him master. And the word there isn't what we think of. It's not the word like overseer type thing. It's not actually a negative thing. It's this Greek word, and it does mean master, but it's really a term of respect. She's like, I respect you. I respect you. Man, a lot of guys, if their wives respected them, that would do, oh, wow, that would be an incredible journey, right? That'd be an incredible car ride in the marriage if they felt that they were respected. And that's what Peter's saying. Hey, you respect your husband. I know he doesn't do everything right. But you respect him. You treat him with respect. The point here is that all Christians submitting to government, submitting to your master, submitting to your husband, you either live by faith or you live by fear. In the midst of all of this is a scary thing to go, man, I'm going to respect and I'm going to trust and I'm going to submit. Doesn't mean that you don't get to say, hey, this is my opinion or any of that stuff. But Peter is saying, hey, for the most part, you're going to respect your husband and make sure they know that. As I studied this passage, I think naturally my view of submission is negative. And yet Peter talks about it in this positive, powerful way. He says that there is true beauty in submission. Why? Because if you do it, it's only through the power of submission. Your husband gets a glimpse of who God is. You have the power, whether your husband's a Christian or not, to give your husband a glimpse of God, a glimpse of who Jesus was in his powerful submission. You become like Sarah. You become like Jesus. And that should make you go, whoa! In verse 3, he talks about how in this world we think of beauty, long braids, outward adornment. But that is not true beauty. Because that beauty fades. And we all know that. As you get older, beauty kind of fades. I'm going to show you a slide that I promised you kids. If your parents were from the 80s, grew up in around there, they had hairdos like this. This is I don't know what this is. It's like a horn thing going on there. But if she showed up and that was your girl, that was your gal, you'd go, woo, woo, she looking fine tonight. Let's go to the next one. There's another one. Don't know what that is even called. Again, got the horn thing going out there. And yet that would have been attractive. That would have been beautiful in the 80s. And here's maybe my favorite. Yeah, there's a lot of hairspray, a lot of Aquanet going on there, and a lot of fire hazard in that hairdo. But that hairdo would have been like, woo-wee! She is looking good. If your mama showed up with a hairdo like that, your dad would probably be going, I'm not going with you tonight. But in the 80s, he was like, man, I'm so glad to have this fine-looking lady on my hip, right? He saw it as beauty. Beauty, though, changes. That's the point that Peter's making, all of those things. And it's not to say, ladies, hey, you do yourself up, look nice, all of those things, that's good. It's not to say you shouldn't try at all, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is this quiet and gentle spirit that God has put in you, and it's attractive, and it's something that never goes away. And something that never goes away. Peter says that the spirit of a submissive wife, a quiet and gentle spirit, will never, never go out of style. He says it this way, it's unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. It goes back to that throne thing. In God's sight, man, that gentle, submissive, this spirit that God has called you into is like, man, this is so worth it. Man, that's my daughter. Look at her shine. Look at how beautiful she is. That's what God's saying about you as you live that out in your life. God has always saw women as having great worth. The Son of Man, God's Son, Jesus, was conceived through a woman, through the Holy Spirit. He sees Christ going to the cross and the power is unleashed. He sees that same power in the woman who submits to her husband, whether her husband is a Christian or not. Let me say this last statement. Ladies, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in a beauty pageant. But it's not a beauty pageant of this world. It's a beauty pageant of your inner self that God is changing and molding to be like his Son. That's the real beauty pageant. As a church, we can learn from Jesus' example of submission, and we can learn from really awesome wives an example of submission. I'm not saying this isn't hard, but it's worth something to God and the church. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Woman, you can inspire us men as you live by faith in this principle. Because when we see a godly wife, we see Jesus, and we're called higher. We're called higher. We're called higher by the submissiveness and the godliness of you women. So the first point that we're looking at this morning is submissive women. The second is considerate men. In verse 7, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, there's that word again, as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, in the same way, referring back to Jesus, be considerate. This word considerate in Greek, it means to have understanding. It means to have compassion or understanding. It means that you handle this incredible gift that God has given you with care. It's like getting a new, this is a terrible illustration, just so you know as I start. It's like your new iPhone that comes out, right? You have your new iPhone and no one's really allowed to touch it. And you put a cover on it and you put a glass, a shield on it to cover, to protect the face. You're considerate of that. In the same way with your words, with how you treat your wife, you are considerate of them. You treat them with respect. This idea that they're the weaker partner, it means physical. So get off your high horse. Your wife's probably smarter than you. It's okay if she is, but you still treat her with respect. You treat her with compassion. She's not intellectually inferior to you. She's weaker, a weaker vessel in that, in the physical realm. But you treat her with that consideration. You can treat her with the respect that she is a gift from God. If you do not, this is what it says. If you choose not to, it's going to hinder your prayers. Oh God, please help me. Man, how are you treating your wife? Knucklehead. That's what God's saying. It hinders them. It hinders them if you're not choosing to do this. See, they're co-heirs. They're co-heirs to the kingdom of God. There's not Greek, there's not Jew, we've talked about this. There's not slave, there's not master, there's not man, there's not woman. We're all heirs, we're all kids of God. If you've said yes to Jesus and you've responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that his death, burial, and resurrection was for you, and you said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, then you are co-heirs. We're equal under the cross. All sinners, all saved by the same person, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's your wife. She's co-heir with you. And you're on this journey. You're on this incredible journey that God has given you. Remember, Adam didn't have a spouse. He's cruising around and he's having a good time for a while, I'm sure. He's cruising around, he's looking around, and he goes, wait a second, there is not a suitable helper for me here. There's no one that I can connect with. There's no one that, and imagine this, he's talking to God every day, and he still says, hey, I need someone here with me. And God sees this, and it says, it's not good for man to be alone. And he creates woman, a suitable shotgun driver, right? A suitable person to go on the journey of life with. This is a precious gift to you. You treat her with respect. You treat her with consideration. Otherwise, your prayers are hindered. So some of you are sitting there and you're like, well, I'm not married. Well, man, this is a great text to look at what you should be looking for in a marriage. Man, you may be locking down, guys, and you're going, woo, woo, she's good. Don't do the cat calls. That's not okay in our society anymore, and it shouldn't be. But you can go in your head, wow, that is a very beautiful person. But is she? Is she beautiful in God's sight? Just because she has good looks, remember, those fade. But you should be looking for a woman who is gentle in spirit. Man, loves God, cares about God. Girls, if you're looking for a guy and he's not considerate, he doesn't respect you, probably not the guy for you. Run. Get away. Man, God gives us some really great insight. He may be a fine athlete or fine, good-looking dude. He may be popular, or he may have money, or he may have this or that. But if he is not considerate and he is not someone who is going to respect you, get out. Don't marry that person. Look for that guy who loves the Lord, who's going to be considerate of you, who's going to respect you. This is the teaching for this morning. It's an incredible teaching. It's an incredibly hard teaching. But let's pray together and we'll close today as you're at your house hanging out. We're so glad for that. God, we're so thankful for your word. We ask that it would penetrate our hearts, that it would change our lives, that it would move in us in such a way that we would actually do this, not out of just obligation, but out of trust that you're on the throne, that you know what's best, that you put those words there for us. You put it for the church in the first century, and you put it for this century's church, and you know what is good, and you know what is right. God, this is a difficult teaching that we cannot do without the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I ask that your Spirit would move in our hearts in those places where we're just not respecting, submitting to one another. God, that it would just happen and we would see how to do that. That word's difficult for us. God, you know that. God, I ask that our hearts would be changed today and that we would move in the direction like your Son. Thanks for the cross. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for what he did for us. Thanks for being an overseer of our soul, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.